Let us worship God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let us pray. Our Father, we give thanks unto thee for all thy blessings which day by day surround us together with thine ever-protecting care. We thank thee that our times are in thy hands. Bless us, our Father, with grateful hearts, with joyful hearts, that we may always acknowledge that because thou art on the throne, we are more than conquerors in Christ. We are the people of blessing. We are the people of thy kingdom and of thine eternal joy. Grant our Father that as we face the troubles of this life, we might, like the saints of old, be ever ready in thy service, ever faithful, knowing that it is thy will that must be done. How great thou art, our Father, and we praise thee. In Christ's name, amen. Our scripture lesson is Hebrews 3, verses 1 through 19. Hebrews 3, 1 through 19, and our subject is the center. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, hearken not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts, a heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believe not, So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Calvin very briefly summarized this chapter in these words, and I quote, "We are always to make progress even unto death, for our whole life is, as it were, a race," unquote. Too often believers see conversion as the goal. While our conversion is a finished act insofar as salvation is concerned, sanctification is a lifelong work. The whole law word of God must be applied to ourselves and our areas of responsibility. The Christian life is one of obligations. Because Moses was to the Hebrews the great person in their perspective, and great he was, Moses is here compared to Jesus Christ. Moses belonged to the house as one of the elect community. But we are told Christ is the builder of the house, therefore much greater. Moses was a servant in the house or kingdom, but from all eternity Jesus Christ was its builder and Lord over it. The two great and basic truths, some have said, which run throughout the Bible from beginning to end, are these: that God is sovereign, and that man is a responsible creature. To return to Moses, the creature, the servant, after knowing the Lord, the Creator, Jesus Christ, was thus a fearful sin. Therefore, Hebrew warns, "Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ." As high priest, Jesus Christ is the builder of the new house or temple. Moreover, he is the builder of all things, the creator of heaven and earth. And he is the builder of the new house, the new temple. He is the builder of all things because he is a member of the Godhead. Moses was God's faithful servant in all God's household. To be faithful like Moses means to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Our first foundation in verse 14 means literally the beginning of our foundation. It means that whereon anything stands or is supported, with the implication of substance. Verses 7 through 11 are a grim warning. The Holy Spirit himself gave warning to all Israel not to harden their hearts against God. Because of their rebellion against obedience to God, the generation of the Exodus perished in the wilderness. God himself condemned them to failure. They saw God's work, his miracles, for 40 years, and they disgusted God by their rebellious doubt and unbelief. They could not enter into Canaan because of their unbelief. As Lenski observed, when grace is exhausted, judgment descends. So Hebrews is a warning to the Hebrew Christians. Remember who Jesus Christ is. Now, very often people, as they look back to the first century, think, oh, how privileged they were. They actually saw Jesus, and also Paul, Peter, and the other apostles. But consider, that could be a handicap. Because they would remember Jesus as a flesh and blood figure. Oh yes, he was the Messiah. He was a great worker of miracles. But to see him as very God of very God would have been difficult for some of them. They had seen him walk, eat, sleep like unto themselves. And so Paul and the other men of the apostolic company are here saying, consider Jesus Christ. Remember who he is more than anything that you could see. In verse 1, we have the only instance in the New Testament where Jesus Christ is called God's apostle. An apostle was an agent or an ambassador. Within the limits of his assignment, an apostle had the authority of one who sent him. He was legally empowered to act for the one who sent him, having the power of attorney. Jesus is thus the Son of God, we are told in the second verse of this letter. Greater than all the angels, the first chapter goes on to say. And here, in the third chapter, in the first verse, the apostle of God, and our great high priest. He is called the Son of God, but also the Apostle of God, the one who brings us the very Word of God. At the same time, true believers are called holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. This does not mean that all individuals in the church are holy, but that their calling is to be holy. Doubt separates us from God and Christ. Whereas faith, verses 7 through 19, tells us, draws us closer to Him. It is not faith that saves us, but Jesus Christ. We receive that by faith, which is a gift of God. What faith does is to enable us to know His salvation. We become partakers or sharers in Christ's victory over sin and death if we are steadfast to the end. The church is reminded that those who left Egypt with Moses did not necessarily enter into the promised land. They were called out, but it was a physical calling. They did not abide in the faith. Their unbelief caused them to die in the wilderness. What led them to follow Moses was their desire to escape from slavery and death. And this was not enough. They had a calling to serve and obey God, but they chose rather to demand that God save and obey them. The issue was and still is the same. Who is the Lord? God or man? Whose will must be obeyed? God is not at man's command, nor at man's beck and call. The chief end of God is not to glorify man and obey him forever, but very much the reverse. Hebrews is emphatic here and elsewhere that a man's centered faith is implicitly hostile to the God of Scripture. It is an anti-Arminian work from beginning to end, which is probably one of the reasons also why it is the most neglected book in the New Testament. To be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, verse 13, means to make ourselves and our wishes the focus of God's work. And this is blasphemy, although it is a common one. The failure of Israel, so strongly stressed in this text, was an insistent demand that God save Israel. And we now have a like requirement by many in the church that God serve them. Special prayer services are commonplace to call God to our aid. But they are rare in seeking to ascertain how we can better serve the Lord. I shall never forget, I have referred to it before, a very prominent couple, so radically Arminian that it was really a caricature. And she went so far as to say indignantly when she learned of my post-millennialism, "I don't believe it. How can God expect me to go through tribulation when I gave up the two things I loved most for him, smoking and dancing?" I was so shocked I didn't laugh until later. The word consider in verse 1 is a summons to change from a man-centered faith to a God-centered one. Israel was self-centered. It focused on itself as the goal of God's work rather than as his instrument. But the church is even more self-centered now, in that the individual sees himself as the focus, something less than Israel. Not God and his kingdom as the focus. But our Lord tells us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," or justice. We are called upon to be instruments of God, not his commanders. The faithfulness of Moses is commended to the Hebrews. In fact, in verse 5, Moses is highly praised as a faithful house servant. And he is implicitly held up as an example of godliness and holiness. Now consider what Hebrews is telling us there. We like to think of Moses and the prophets as great men in the house of God, in the sanctuary. But Hebrews tells us he was a house servant. Now we know what servants are in a house: maids, butlers, cooks. And Hebrews is saying, you think highly of Moses, but Moses did not see himself as you see him. He saw himself as God's servant. He was God's house servant. And this is the example of godliness and holiness. If we see ourselves as the goal of God's work in Christ, rather than as His instruments, how can we enter into Christ's rest when we warp the meaning of His work? The center of our faith is not ourselves, but Christ and His kingdom. Our salvation is therefore not the end of Christ's work, but its starting point. We are restored into His household and calling to serve Him. Calvin was right. Our whole life must be an endeavor to fulfill His calling. Christ is the foundation, not we ourselves. This is what Hebrews is talking about. And this is why it is strange that even those who write about it from an Arminian perspective simply will not look at the fact that salvation is the starting point, or that even the greatest of the Old Testament saints, Moses, was a house servant. They insist on seeing not Christ and His kingdom as our goal, but themselves. And Hebrews, as we shall see, pronounces judgment on those who falsify the faith. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for this Thy word. Thy word is truth, and Thy word speaks to our need and directs us on our way. Give us grace to hear and to work as faithful house servants in Thy kingdom and in Thy house. Grant us this in Christ's name. Amen. Are there any questions now about our lesson? As you can see, the direction that Hebrews takes is a very radical and hard-hitting one. Here we come face-to-face with the basic issues of our time in the self-centeredness of so many within the church. And you can understand why Paul did not write this alone, why the apostolic fellowship worked with him to frame this statement the church of all time, beginning with the Hebrew Christians of their time. We will be continuing when we meet next week with a portion of the fourth chapter, because it goes into the meaning of rest, which we have seen already as a key factor, the true Sabbath. What does it mean? This is developed through a great deal of the book, together with the theme of high priestly calling, Christ as high priest. So, Hebrews does open some of the fundamentals of the faith to our consideration, and requires a God-centered, not a man-centered perspective. Yes.
Is Rush, as you know, one of the other themes of Hebrews is the perseverance of the saints. Isn't yes. that a doctrine that's greatly misunderstood these days? Would you care to comment about that?
Yes, I haven't mentioned that. We're going to come to that later on. But the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints is a doctrine that affirms the sovereignty of God. We didn't save ourselves. Therefore, our perseverance does not depend upon us. It depends upon the Lord. And His power to preserve us through any and everything is startling. And He makes clear that what He has begun in us, He will complete. So that Hebrews tells us we are saved to serve. We have a lifelong calling, a battle. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That in the process of this, we will be chastened because we are sons, and therefore we are disciplined, because God has something more for us to do in time or in eternity. So God will make sure that we persevere, that we remain in the battle. The perseverance of the saints has to do with pilgrimage and battle. Are there any other questions? Yes.
Aren't we really talking about a paradox, though? Because though God's will be served, we have responsibility.
Exactly.
We always look at the responsibility, even though things will turn out by God's predestinating power.
Remember, I pointed out that more than one person has said that the two great themes of the Bible from beginning to end are the absolute sovereignty of God, His power, His predestination, everything. And then second, our responsibility. So the two go together. We cannot separate them without departing from the Word. Well, let us conclude now with prayer. Our Father, we give thanks unto Thee for the glory, the plain speaking, and the assurance of Thy Word. We thank Thee that our salvation does not depend upon us, but upon Thee. That our hopes are all known to Thee. And Thou art ever mindful of us. Teach us so to walk that in the confidence of Thy victory and Thy grace, we are more than conquerors in Christ. And now go in peace. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost bless you and keep you, guide and protect you, this day and always. Amen.